and some new faces in the congregation today as well. You know, as I think about the message that I want to share with you and your pastor as well, as we, and any guest speaker, as we come and stand before you, it's not uncommon that a scripture that comes to our mind is one that you've quoted quite often. Not by power, not by might, I'm going to add, not by PowerPoint, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord, right? As wonderful as might is, as wonderful as power is, and I could give, as it were, a powerful sermon, I could a mighty outline and the whole thing, but and even a great PowerPoint. But that's not where it's at. It's by your Spirit, says the Lord. And so as I come here and I stand before you, I need to be close to God and have the Spirit of God in me and allow the Spirit of God to take control through the message today. And you have the responsibility and the desire and the choice to say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. May that be our choice today. Sing with me, will you? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Are you a Saturday keeper? You ever thought of yourself as a Saturday keeper? Or are you a Christian Sabbath keeper? Now, maybe some of you are thinking, wow, aren't they the same? No, they are not. They are world apart. Maybe you might say, well, I think I understand what it means to be a Sabbath-keeping Christian, but what does it mean to be a Saturday-keeping Christian, or a Saturday keeper, I should say? And there's a number of characteristics, and today as we begin the message, I think it's important that we know the difference between being a Christian Sabbath keeper and being a Saturday keeper. And you'll notice there are four characteristics. Not any one makes one a Saturday keeper, but it's a combination. Here we go. First of all, a Saturday keeper is one who majors, underline that word in your thoughts, majors on proving that the right day is Saturday. Now, that has its place, doesn't it? In fact, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, I am thankful that our church has been used of the Lord to prove, both from the Bible and from history, that the day of worship, the right day of worship, is Saturday and not Sunday. God has blessed the church to present that and to do that. And so that doesn't, just because one does that does not mean that they are therefore a Saturday keeper, but it's a combination. But a characteristic of a Saturday keeper is that they love to prove from history and the Bible the rightness of the day. It's Saturday. It's not Sunday. And they do a good job of that. But here's another characteristic. Saturday keeping is keeping the right day because it's what? The right day. It's the right day. And you've heard the expression Jesus gave that He would have us look at His law and obedience in Christian living not only by so much the letter of the law, but by the spirit of the law. And sometimes the way that a Saturday keeper might come across is by the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. And that reminds me of the times when that happened to me and when I've come across that way. And I'm embarrassed, but I'm going to say it anyway. It was some years ago, and my sister and I were young. I was just starting college, and And I was reading some red books. Many of you have those red books. And my sister was kind of in the craze of dressing a certain way, and I wanted to set her straight. And I was right. I was right about what she should be doing. I read it right there. Set her straight. But I was wrong. I had a wrong attitude. I had a wrong spirit. Did my sister change? No. She went just the opposite direction from what my counsel was to her. The letter of the law sometimes kills. It doesn't help. Saturday keeping is a characteristic of just the rightness of the day because it's the right day. But here's another one. The third one. Saturday keeping is keeping the right day by following a checklist approach. A checklist approach. In every church, possibly, in some families, possibly, there may be someone that has their binoculars focused. They're focused to see if everybody lines up with their checklist and if they're doing what their checklist says. And they're setting them straight if they're not doing it right. That's a characteristic of a Saturday keeper. But here's a fourth characteristic of a Saturday keeper, and that is this. A Saturday keeping is the thinking that the final issue during the final events is we are choosing to worship on the right day and refusing to keep the wrong day. That's a characteristic of a Saturday keeper. Now, that's one side of the truth. That's one side of the coin, and that's absolutely true. The truth, the true day to worship on, according to the Word of God and Bible history, is Saturday and not Sunday. The rightness of the day. We're right about that. That's one side of the coin. But friends, the real issue, underline this in your mind, your heart, the real issue is more than the rightness of the day. The real issue is what that day points to. Inviting us to trust in Him. I was a Saturday keeper. And by God's grace and His mercy and patience, I became a Sabbath-keeping Christian. And I have a burden in my heart and I believe there is hope for Saturday keepers to become Sabbath keepers, Christian Sabbath keepers. And I've found that God has placed on my heart a burden, a mission. And I pray that it will become your burden. It will become your mission as well. And it's a twofold mission as it relates to the Sabbath. Notice it on the screen or in your notes. To show from the Bible and our lives that the seventh-day Sabbath is not only the right day, but it is what? Christian. So not only are we given the mission to show people from the Bible and history what the right day to worship on is, but we are given the mission to show our other Christian brothers and sisters and friends that the seventh-day Sabbath is Christian. It's Christian. Now, well, what do you mean, Pastor Kent? That it's gospel-centered. That in believing in the Sabbath, you are resting in the gospel and you're not placing yourself back under the bondage of the law. And that you're not putting yourself under the, as it were, sometimes the expression bondage, under the old covenant, those expressions that some of our Christian friends have. But by keeping the Sabbath as a Christian, we're inviting them to see the Sabbath as a day that invites us to trust and uplift Jesus Christ and all that that means. And the second mission that every one of us should be invited in, and I want to invite you to be a part of, is to help people to know how to keep the Sabbath as a Christian. not only to help them to see what the right day is, but to help them to know how to keep it as a Christian and to uplift Jesus and help them to see that it's not a burden. So where do we start? Where do we start with this mission? I would like to suggest that we start here. Prepare for it. Prepare for it. And I would suggest that we see, suggest that we see the Christian Sabbath keeping as not only as the rightness of the day, but as this, as a date, to see it as a date, a time, a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is our Creator, and our Redeemer, and our Restorer, as a date with Him. And so the question that we should be thinking as we prepare to keep the Sabbath as a Christian are three questions. And again, notice them on the screen here. Number one, when do we start this 24-hour date with Jesus Christ to make known the awesome works of Jesus Christ as our Creator? When do we start to do that? And secondly, when do we start to take the whole day off so that we can dwell upon Jesus Christ as our Redeemer? So that God will know that our trust is in Jesus. Jesus as our Redeemer. That the world around us, that the onlooking universe will know that we are resting in His works to save us and not our own. And the Sabbath points to all of that. And thirdly, when do we start keeping the Sabbath with a spirit of expectancy, anticipation, that Jesus Christ not only is our Creator, not only is our Redeemer, but He wants to restore us. He is here today by His Holy Spirit, who wants to invite us to be healed and restored back to His image. That's the focus of Christian Sabbath keeping. Sabbath keeping Christian emphasizes more than the correctness of the day, but rather uplifts Jesus. Does that make sense? You see what we're trying to say here? How does a Christian prepare for the Sabbath so they can be ready to spend the whole day resting in the accomplished works of Jesus Christ, our Creator and our Redeemer, and to come to the Sabbath hours with an expectation for healing and restoration? That's the question that we want to ask and have in our hearts and our minds as we prepare to keep it. Our Adventist pioneers, I love Adventist history. I'm looking forward to sharing with you more about Adventist history in the future. But did you know that our Adventist pioneers, called Sabbatarian Adventist, we learn the Sabbath from our Seventh-day Baptist Christian friends. That's where we learned it. Rediscovered the Sabbath with their help. That's a story in itself. And they're called they're called Sabbatarian Adventist. And so even before there was a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, they were Sabbatarian Adventist, and they believed that the Sabbath began on Friday at 6 o'clock and ended on Saturday at 6 o'clock. And for 10 years, they taught that. Now, our early Adventist pioneers, like Adventists today, are Bible-believing Christians. And they continue to study their Bibles and, whoa, wait a minute, there's nothing in here that it says that the Sabbath begins on Friday at 6 o'clock. It's not there. And that's another part of the story I'll tell you someday. But they learned that the Sabbath begins on Friday starting at sundown, when the sun goes down. And among the texts they looked at from the Bible as they read the Bible as a whole, is this one, Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 32. Read it out loud with me, will you? It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. At evening to evening shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. At evening to evening. Okay. And they read and they read the Bible as a whole, and they discovered as they went on to Luke chapter 23, verses 54 through 56, that the Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday. Our early Adventist believers came to that discovery. Well, let's go back now. Let's go back to our original question, and that is, how does a Christian prepare for the Sabbath so they can be ready to rest in the accomplished works of Jesus Christ as our Creator and our Redeemer, and to be able to come to church and enter into the Sabbath time with an expectation that Jesus wants to heal me, Jesus wants to restore me. The focus is not alone on the right day, but the focus is upon Jesus. Preparing for the Sabbath. Now, maybe some people think, well, wait a minute, preparing, that isn't that legalistic to prepare? And as you notice here on the screen, is it legalistic to prepare for the Christian Sabbath? To prepare our surroundings, our food, our clothing, our bodies, our minds? Is it legalist? Does one become a legalist because of what they do or because of why they do it? It's because of why, isn't it? That's right. So I want you to turn with me now as we go into our Bibles to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. Many of you, as students of the Bible, you know that Exodus chapter 20 talks about the law of God, the moral law, the Ten Commandments, where Moses, through inspiration, gives the law of God in more detail. And you might ask, well, wait a minute, well, what does the Ten Commandments tell me about preparing for the Sabbath? Well, hold on, we're on our way. But first, it's so important. It's so important that we cover this first question. And that is this: how does God begin His Ten Commandment moral law? How does He begin it? In fact, how you and I choose He begins it, and how we have the mindset, either can influence us to become a Saturday keeper or a Sabbath-keeping Christian. That's why this question is so important. Does He begin in chapter 20, verse 3, "Thou shalt not"? Is that where the law starts? Or does He begin, as you are now in Exodus chapter 20, does He begin with verse 2? Read with me, will you? Verse 2 of Exodus chapter 20. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Why is God starting His Ten Commandments, reminding us what He has done for us? And what has He done for us? It says here that He has delivered us from the bondage of Egypt. And Egypt is a symbol for what? For sin. And who delivered us, redeemed us from the bondage of sin? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And so what is it that God is doing here? God is first telling us what He has done for us. He is revealing to us His love for us. He delivered us. He saved us. He redeemed us. You see, God does not want us to see His law of Ten Commandments as merely a duty. But He wants us to come to the place where we see the beauty of the duty. And how is that possible? By responding to what He has done for us. Who He is, what He has done, and what He can do. You see, God doesn't want us to relate to His law like we would a checklist of do's and don'ts. That's not his purpose. But his purpose is in how you determine when the law starts. Is it verse 2 or is it verse 3? You determine what kind of obedience you get. A Saturday keeper, their obedience is the letter of the law. I've got to obey, and if I don't obey, I'll be lost. Sabbath-keeping Christian, I want to obey because I've learned that he loves me. And he's done this for me. The least I can do by his help and his spirit is to live for him. And so he desires for us heart obedience. Heart obedience. And so he starts his law, the Ten Commandments, with a reminder that he has redeemed them from bondage. And then, verse 3, he gives to us the thou shalt nots. But the thou shalt nots are given in a context. Do you note the context again? The context is the context of God's character of love. I have redeemed you. And in that context, he invites us to obey him. Now, as I have read, and you have read, the Ten Commandments, out of all the commandments, all of the ten, there's one that begins with the word. What's the word? Only one word. It begins with the word remember. Say it out loud with me, reading verse 8 of Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember, remember, remember. Now, I think you're very much like me. We have a lot of things to remember, don't we? We have a lot of things to remember. Roy and Jan are not here with us. They're recovering from their accident. I miss them. But I'll not forget Roy coming up to me and saying, oh, Pastor Ken, don't forget. Remember the work bee tomorrow. That was some weeks ago. And the elder on the platform made announcements. Remember, whenever the pastor is here, we're going to have a fellowship meal. We want to get better acquainted with our pastor. We want to have fellowship together on the first and the third Sabbath of each month. Remember, remember. But friends, right now, who is telling us remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Who? Is it Roy? Is it some human being? No. God himself. God himself. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God is telling that story. And not the God who says, I'm expecting obedience no matter what. Letter of the law. No. God who says, I love you. I've redeemed you out of the bondage of sin. I call you to obedience, to keep my law. Now, remember. How do you remember a birthday? How do you remember an anniversary? How do you remember a very important event? You remember it by keeping it in your mind. You write it down. You think about it through the week so that when it comes, you can celebrate it, right? And if you have a birthday, you've got the gift and you're ready to go. Nobody has to call you up and said, did you forget? Oh, you forget the birthday. Oh, no. And you feel terrible. And you haven't bought a gift and all the above. God, through Jesus Christ, says, remember the Sabbath day. Remember it throughout the week so that when it comes, you can keep it. You can make known the importance of what I have done, who I am, more than just that you've remembered the right day. The Sabbath, it is very interesting as I've studied about the Sabbath. Often when we think about the Sabbath, we think, well, it's calling us to remember Jesus as our Creator. That's one that comes right to our minds right away. But as you study the Bible as a whole, you discover as you continue to study about the Sabbath not only calls us to remember Jesus as our Creator, but the Sabbath also calls us to remember Jesus as our Redeemer. And just one among many texts could be written there, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. And then you read on and you discover a new, broader meaning of what the Sabbath calls you to remember. Remember, I am the one who restores you, who can calls you that on the Sabbath you can receive healing and restoration. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 12 and 20. And so remember, 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 the Sabbath is a day that makes God look good. The Sabbath is a day that points to something greater, greater than itself. As important as the rightness of the day is, what is greater than that? It is what the Sabbath points to. Jesus, a relationship with Him. Knowing Him as my Creator and my Redeemer, resting in His accomplishments and anticipating what He is going to do for me as I come and I worship Him on His Sabbath day. Well, let's take a moment now and let's remember that during the week as we prepare for the Sabbath, we can remember it during the week so that we can make known the importance of the fact that He is my Creator and my Redeemer and my Restorer, and we can rest in Him and respond to who He is and what He has done. I want to share with you some practical guidelines, that will help you to know how to keep the Sabbath, how to prepare for the Sabbath right now. Guideline number one, you have it there in your notes, or you have it on the screen. Remember, anything that detracts our attention from celebrating what the Sabbath points to should be set aside or substituted by something that helps keep our focus on Christ, our Creator, Redeemer, and Restorer. You see, if we're going to keep the Sabbath as a Sabbath-keeping Christian, then we're going to see the Sabbath as God sees the Sabbath. And God does not see the Sabbath as a checklist, but God sees the Sabbath as a day that He wants to have a relationship with you and me. A closer relationship with Jesus, our Creator and our Redeemer and our Restorer. So why do we want to prepare for the Sabbath during the week? Why would we want to prepare our hearts and our minds and our surroundings and cease our secular labors and work? Answer, so that when the Sabbath comes, we can have the whole day, 24-hour date, to form a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. And say it out loud with me, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Restorer. Does this make sense to you? Do you see the difference between a Saturday keeper and a Sabbath keeper? Christian Sabbath keeper? Suggestion number two. Practical suggestion. Or I should maybe say that the Sabbath is not so much perfecting our list, but the Sabbath is relational. And as we prepare for the Sabbath during the week, when it comes, then we can have a whole day to have a relationship with Him, a 24-hour date with our God. Well, here's practical suggestion number two. We can't call the Sabbath a delight unless we prepare for it throughout the week, especially if we have children, and maybe add on to that, and our grandchildren are with us. It's God's ideal, according to His word, that the mother and the wife can be home. Some of you as mothers and wives say, wouldn't that be wonderful? I'd love to be able to be home. Well, that's God's original plan for you. Somehow our society has changed that, hasn't it? But as a mother is home, then very possibly she can help, and Friday can be the preparation day, and you can enter into Sabbath rest on for Friday. However, a clear majority, many of our wives and mothers today are employed outside the home, and they have, maybe when they get home from work, they've got maybe 3 hours to be able to prepare for the Sabbath. And I can just visualize right now what that mother is doing and what they're thinking. Talking about racing with the sun, you will lose every time. Groceries to buy. You've got Sabbath clothes to get in order. You've got meals to prepare. And that's just a few for starts. So I would suggest, in the light of the times that we live in, friends, where the majority of our wives and mothers do not stay home, I would suggest that make your preparation for the Sabbath, rather than it mainly being on Friday, start all during the week. I like the way one woman put it. She said this: I observe that the cleaner my house is during the week, the less hectic Fridays are. A lot of wisdom there. So begin preparing for the Sabbath during the week. Don't wait till 3 hours on Friday sundown. That is called racing with the sun. Now you know why I titled the sermon Racing with the Sun. Practical idea number three. Remember that the Sabbath is coming all during the week. This means turning down any appointments or projects that will interfere with the time for Sabbath preparation. In other words, don't start some large project or enter into some big activity that will bring you to exhaustion on Friday, so that when Sabbath comes, you are sleepy. I want to speak for the rest of you here today. We're thankful for our new pastor. And I know for a fact that your pastor, Pastor Miller, does not wait till Friday evening to prepare his sermon. By Thursday, most likely, he's finished with this sermon, ready to get it to the bulletin information. Sabbath-keeping Christian mechanics, they're working on an engine, they're working on a car, and for them to wait and do some of that work and try to finish it up is exhausting on Friday. A lot of them, if they do it at home, for example, they work until Thursday, and on Thursday night, they shut the door. Good principle to think about. Maybe a truck driver, and I know we have truck drivers in our church family, and you know truck drivers. A truck driver doesn't drive from on Friday early in the morning from Roseburg, Oregon, all the way down to Los Angeles, California, and plan to be back home before sundown Friday. Called racing with the sun, and you lose every time. And so I would suggest that we have the cutoff point to be Thursday. Close that door. Stop what you're doing when it comes to heavy duties. Don't wait till Friday to end it. Now, I know that each of you here today, including myself, we know our time, we know our schedules, we know our limitations, and there's nothing wrong, not at all. You don't have to feel guilty at all saying to somebody no when they invite you to get involved with an activity that will bring you to be exhaustion and enable you to really be able to be prepared in mind and body as you prepare for the Sabbath. It's okay to say no. Do you ever find yourself tired during the Sabbath day, getting very little out of the sermon? Well, I think maybe this could be a very practical advice and help and guide for you as you learn to prepare for the Sabbath. And before we go on and share some other practical guidelines here, I want to say that I understand that every one of us here, we come from different homes. Not all of us have a Christian mate. Not all of us have a mate and a family who support preparing for the Sabbath or even keeping the Sabbath. And even our children, they're at different levels of their spirituality and in their cooperation, right? So we come from different homes. And then many of you as wives, there are times when you, due to the time schedule of things, daylight savings times and stuff, by the time you get home, sometimes it's an hour till the sun goes down. And you need to prepare for the Sabbath. Racing with the sun, you lose every time. And so these guidelines that I want to share with you, they're ideals. They're just practical, down-to-earth ideals. And as Christians, I do not want you to feel like you need to be down on yourself because you can't always meet every one of those ideals. You don't have to be down on yourself and feel like, well, I really haven't prepared for the Sabbath because the lawn's not mowed. I didn't wash the car. Well, let us go now to practical suggestion number 4. If we want to remember what the Sabbath points to, we will want to remember to prepare our surroundings. That's practical suggestion number 4. And what is it that are some of the ideals as we prepare for the Sabbath? I've implied one. Well, let's see. The lawn needs to be mowed. The car needs to be washed. There are groceries I need to get fixed. A meal needs to be. And those are ideals to be able to get all that accomplished. But it may not be for you realistic. Are you with me? Understand what I'm saying? Maybe you can relate to this wife who said it this way. At times I find that the Sabbath hours come so fast that I'm unable to adequately clean the house. I feel guilty when I don't do my house cleaning. Unquote. Please don't raise your hand, but I'm sure many of you as wives have felt guilty because you haven't got it cleaned. I remember some days when Annetta finds herself rushing a bit, and I tell her, I said, dear, I'm not wanting you to feel the pressure of that. I'm not wanting you to have that pressure. Your mind and readiness for entering into the Sabbath is more important to me than a clean house. And then Annetta and myself and our two boys were in Canada, British Columbia, beautiful country. And I came across this plaque in a souvenir shop. And it read, "My house is clean enough to be healthy, dirty enough to be happy." Isn't that a great principle? Not a great principle? Mothers, wives here today, remember this. What is more important? A clean house? A clean car, a mowed lawn, or the right spirit? Well, I think you know the answer. And so, as we begin this awesome goal in mind, as we prepare for the Sabbath, there are some things that we put away. There are some things that in the place of what we put away, we bring out. And then we choose to begin to listen to some things as we prepare our surroundings for the Sabbath. So what are some things that we put away? We put away in our minds, direct our minds away from that business deal. We direct our minds away from that bill that came in the mail. We just set it aside. We choose to turn off secular programs and games and activities. Now, why? Is God burdening us here? Is this a do and a don't? Why does he want us to turn these things off and change our focus? It's because he wants us to look into his face. He wants our attention. He says, "I want to have a 24-hour date with you. We want to form a relationship together." And if you're reading the sports page, we're not going to do very good. And in the place of the things that we remove, we bring out some things. What might those be? Well, children's toys, Sabbath toys, Sabbath games. And I'd highly recommend that when you pick out those Sabbath games, go to the store and you buy them, or the Sabbath games and toys, bring your children with you. Bring your grandkids with you. Help them, involve them in choosing those, so that when the Sabbath comes, they'll remember what's there. And then they'll put these other ones aside and they'll focus on this. And then, of course, children's books and magazines. And, of course, the Word of God. The Word of God. And have a translation, a version that you understand. It's understandable. And then hobbies. Take advantage of hobbies that help you to remember Jesus Christ as your Creator, your Redeemer, and your Restorer. There's some wonderful hobbies that can do that. And then choose to listen to what? You choose to listen to music, Christian music, Bible stories, Christian videos, 3ABN. And again, I want to emphasize to parents and grandparents that when you choose something and you remove something, and your child really likes that something, and you remove that something, please involve them in choosing the alternative. That toy that they like. They like toys, all toys. But if they had the opportunity to choose the Sabbath toys, then they would be a little bit more excited in looking forward to the Sabbath toys. Let them be involved in the alternative. Now, we come to practical idea number 5. Remember, as we prepare for the Sabbath, that we prepare for our food, prepare our food for that day. You may have this book in your library. If you don't, I highly recommend you get one. It's written by Ellen White. It's a book about lifestyle, about Christian health and living. Very practical, very, very Christ-centered. And she has a chapter there in 2 pages where she talks about food on the Sabbath, Ministry of Healing, page 307 and 308. And those 2 pages, there were 2 things that stood out that I would like to share what she wrote. She said this, and I'm putting it in my words. Generally, we are not active on the Sabbath. Thus, the Sabbath meal should be simple and less eaten. Now, that's some good counsel, isn't it? We can all, including myself, learn from that counsel. And then, secondly, make something special since it's the Sabbath. Involve your family, or especially your children, in selecting maybe a casserole that they all enjoy, or a special dessert that they enjoy. And bring out those things that are special on the Sabbath. It calls that it is a special day to remember, most importantly, the special one, Jesus Christ. And some of you here today who attend my class, basic beliefs class, the Sabbath is new for you. And there's something that Annetta has often done, and others of you who keep the Sabbath as a Christian have done, and that is this, that when preparing a certain casserole for the Sabbath meal, make a larger quantity and place it in the freezer. Now, why would that be a practical suggestion? Well, the reason for that is because there are times when you have unexpected guests, and all you need to do is pull out that extra that you had put in the freezer, warm it up, and you're ready. And that way you don't have to spend so long in the kitchen, and you can spend more time with your loved ones, and above all, with Him. Practical suggestion number 6. Remember, when preparing for the Sabbath, that we prepare our clothes and our bodies. Well, of course, this is just good common sense, isn't it? But sometimes we need to stop and think, what would it be like if we waited till Sabbath morning? Mom, I've got a broken shoelace. Oh, son, you didn't polish your shoes. Has everybody gotten their baths? Oh, no, you two need to get in the bath. Grand Central Station, isn't it? That's what it's like. Oh, that's just as bad as racing with the sun. And you can understand why Friday is the preparation day. That's the day for the kids, especially, to get their baths. That's the day if there's a broken shoestring, you can fix it. That's the day to polish those shoes and get them ready. And certainly, things will be a lot better, and you'll especially have a wonderful Sabbath with your children. Practical suggestion, last but not least, number 7. Especially if we have children or our grandchildren are with us, remember to make plans with the children during the week for what we plan to do during that Sabbath. How many times do you remember that we haven't waited? We've waited quite long to talk about this question. We popped the question. Here it is. Well, what would you like to do today? Where would you like to go today? And you just eat your Sabbath meal and you ask that question. But here's a suggestion. Think about this. Pastor Laverne Tucker, those of you who are acquainted with his name, former speaker of the Quiet Hour, this is what he did on Saturday night. Saturday night, he had the worship, and after the worship was over, sundown worship, he looked at his kids, and then he popped the question. Well, what would you like to do next Sabbath? Where would you like to go next Sabbath? And they started talking about it. And they planned, okay, let's go to the park. Let's go to this certain park. Let's have a picnic. And yes, let's go for a walk. And let's look at, let's go to those trees and observe the birds. This week, let's go to the library and pick up some books on birds and leaves of trees. And mother says, well, what do you like for the meal? What would you like it? All during the week, they plan for it. All during the week, they look forward to the Sabbath so that when it comes, they can be able to enjoy it. I ask you today, do not raise your hand. Have you ever had a lonely, boring Sabbath? Maybe some of us, without raising your hand, can say, yes, I've had too many. But here is the key. Here's the key. And the key to that of a lonely, boring Sabbath is, number 1, make plans during the week. Number 2, start as soon as family worship on Saturday night. Well, I hope this message today was practical for you and Christ-centered. You see, God wants us to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And he knows you and he knows me so well. He knows that as we wait till Friday in the life times that we live in, that we will be racing with the sun and we'll lose every time. And that's why I've shared these spiritual principles. Principles not to burden us, not to get us caught into a list of do's and don'ts, but rather they're for the purpose of setting you and me free. Free. Free for what? To be able to have a relationship with Jesus, a 24-hour date with Jesus. Does this make sense? Enjoy the Sabbath day as a Sabbath-keeping Christian. Join me as we sing together that beautiful song. It's an old hymn. It's in the old hymnal and in our new hymnal, but it's on the screen today, and it is entitled, Don't Forget the Sabbath. And those of you who are a part of our praise team here, don't forget to come up here and help me. Stand with me as we sing together.
Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God has blessed. Of all the week, the bride. for labor. It tells of joy divine. It beams of light descending with heavenly beauty bright. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath holy and worship Him today, who said to His disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, He'll give us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind Thou art! How precious is Thy promise to dwell in every heart! Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day! Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day!
Let's pray. Precious, loving Father in heaven, we thank You for the Sabbath day, not alone because You've shown us what the right day is, but above all, Lord, because You've shown us that through the Sabbath day, we can have a 24-hour time to form a relationship with You. And we like that. We're so busy during the week, Lord. Slow us down. Help us to smell the flowers of Your love. Help us to prepare for Your Sabbath so we don't have to race with the sun. Thank You for Your patience with us. We look forward to our date with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Sabbath.